1 Samuel chapter 22. Now we know, we'll start here in verse 1 here in just a few minutes, but to set the stage for this message, we want to remember that Israel was being challenged by the Philistines in 1 Samuel 17, and Saul, being the king at that time, out of God's will and scared half to death, he saw Goliath, the giant, and he wasn't willing to go out and fight against him. So everybody on Israel's side was fearful because of what they could see with their eyes. So they were thinking pretty carnally. And David, this young shepherd boy, he steps up and he says, "I'll fight this guy." And all these battle-hardened warriors are looking at David and kind of mocking him. And Saul puts his armor on him, and it won't fit, of course. And David doesn't need Saul's armor. He needs the armor of God. Amen. So he realizes that he's the one that's going to have to do this. He's the one that's going to have to face this giant. And I want to look at 1 Samuel 17 for just a minute, if you flip back a few pages, and kind of look at the battle before we get up to 1 Samuel 22. So the Philistine's coming to David, and he's beating on his chest, and he said, "I will do this, and I will do that, and I will give your flesh the fowls of the air and the beasts of the earth," and all this stuff, beating on his chest, bragging on himself. In verse number 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David." So we see from this story that three things I want to talk about before we get up to chapter 22. David was true to the Lord. He steps out to fight the enemy, not just any old enemy, but this giant that had put fear in the minds and hearts of all of Israel. And he steps out and he's true to the Lord. He's true to the Lord. He starts out saying that the Lord's going to get the credit for this. Remember Goliath beating on his chest saying, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." And that, you know, when we know where that pride comes from, their father, the lost man's father, the devil. But David steps up and said, "The Lord is going to do this. The Lord's going to fight this battle." So he was true to the Lord in verse 45. In verses 46 and verse 47, he was talking about how the Lord was going to give him into their hands. So he trusted the Lord. David wasn't trusting in himself or his abilities. He was trusting in the Lord. And then he takes that stone and that sling, and he casts that stone and smote the giant. He killed the giant, dropped him in his tracks. And the giant, here he is with this big sword, the size of a weaver's beam, it says. He's got this shield, got all this giant armor on. And David takes this stone and smacks him right between the eyes and defeats him. He was true to the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. He triumphed with the Lord. Now see what David had done, though, in his past. He slew a lion and a bear. He started out keeping the sheep and protecting the sheep. And then God elevated his faith. Every time David won a little victory, of course to me, man, a lion and a bear would be a pretty big victory, amen. Even a black bear, amen. But David won these victories, and since he'd walked with the Lord all this time as in his youth, he was able to look at that giant and say, you know what, the lion and the bear, I prevailed over them in the power of God. And this giant's going to do, he's going to be the same thing, just like the lion and the bear. So he triumphed with the Lord. And after David's great victory, Saul, being carnal and out of God's will, Saul was jealous and sought to destroy David. And you know, that's a lot of things that, a lot of things to be solved in this world. People just get a hold of their pride and get control of that. You know, Saul should have appreciated the fact that somebody was willing to step in and fight the battle that he wasn't willing to fight. Amen? He should have been able to look at David and say, I'm going to give you all the accolades and give God all the glories. I'm just going to talk about how you were willing to step up and I wasn't. But instead, Saul wanted to destroy David. And we know David's a type of Christ, and Saul here's a type of the Antichrist. But let's look at chapter 22 for just a moment. David therefore departed thence. He's running. He's on the run from Saul. Saul's trying to kill him. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Now, David being a type of Christ, we see people gathering to him. And you know, today in this world, there aren't a lot of people that are gathering or willing to gather to Christ. Matter of fact, it seems like about half the world's willing to go against him. But not everybody was gathering to David. There were three types of people that were gathering to David. And there are three types of people that gather to Jesus Christ today. And the Bible says everyone that was in distress. And when I got saved, I was in distress. Amen. I needed a Savior. I knew I needed a Savior. I knew that hell would be my eternal destiny. I knew that there was nothing I could do to change that except call on Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive me and save me. I was in distress. And people today all around the world are in distress. And they might have money in the bank, a nice house, a nice car, but a lot of people have all the things the world has to offer and are in distress. Constantly fretting and worrying. Or you got the other side of that coin where people just living, doing what they do, never thinking about the Lord, never thinking about the Bible. They're just going to wait till the last minute and decide what's true about their quote-unquote religious beliefs. And boy, I'll tell you, you don't have the opportunity sometimes to make a decision at the last minute. You never know. But the world, a lot of folks in distress. Then he says there are folks that are in debt. Everyone that was in debt. Now, you know what I knew when I got saved? I knew that I had a sin debt that I couldn't pay. I had broken God's law, and there wasn't any playing around with the Word or any of that. There wasn't any of this, well, I didn't murder anybody or any of that. I was guilty. If you ever told a lie, if you ever stole anything, if you ever put a God before the God of Genesis 1:1, you're guilty. And the Bible says if you're guilty at one point, you're guilty of the whole law. So it's just like you broke the whole thing. You broke all of them by breaking one, because God sees guilt as guilt. So I knew I was in debt. And I knew from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, I knew that Jesus Christ paid my debt on Calvary. The Bible says the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it, but Jesus Christ, He was born in this world, marched toward Calvary. He realized the Jews were going to reject Him as their Messiah. He marched toward Calvary to lay His life down, shed His blood, so you and I could have everlasting life. And He was able to not only lay it down, but take it up again. Our God is not a dead God. God the Son went to Calvary, suffered the death that we deserve to suffer, died the death we deserve to die, dropped our sin debt off in hell, and came back out of that grave with victory over death, hell, and the grave, so you and I could have everlasting life. You know what He's looking for? He's looking for people that are in distress. He's looking for people that are in debt. And you know what else he's looking for? It says people that are discontented. Discontented. I think a lot of folks are just content living their life the way it is. I mean, sure, they feel guilty sometimes, and they know they're wrong. They know their heart's not right with God, but they're just content. They're content going through the daily things and doing their routine and caught up in the carnal things of this life and trying to serve the flesh and feed the flesh. And I believe the Bible, and the Bible says, man, don't work, you don't eat, shouldn't eat, and all that. I believe if a man's physically able, he should be making some money, and he should be taking care of his family and all that. And praise the Lord, God put it in there, amen. If he put it in there, it's right. And I believe you ought to take care of yourself. I believe your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. You should take care of yourself, all that stuff. But some people are just living like, doesn't matter what they do. They're just content where they're at. I've had the occasion over the years to talk to a lot of people that are fighting addictions and stuff, and they don't really want out of it, a lot of them. A lot of them are just content. It's just what they do. Some of them don't even have a place to live. They prefer to live in a tent and suffer through life, and they're just content with that. They're not willing to step out on faith and trust Christ and see what He'll do with their life. But the people that are gathering to David were people that are in distress and in debt and discontented. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, very important verse in the Word of God. Well, they all are, but in verse number 4, it says, let's look at verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to pay the debt of sinners, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So you know what's happened? The God of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of folks. You see, a lot of people outside the walls of this building, you know them, you have some of our family members, we understand, are in distress. I mean, they're always fretting, they're always worried, there's never any peace. Well, they're not saved, they can't have peace because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. They can't have true peace. But we know there are people out there that are in distress. There are people out there that are in debt. There are people out there that are just content. And you know what the devil has done, the god of this world? And y'all probably think I'm too hard on psychology and philosophy and all that stuff, but I don't believe I'm hard enough on it. I believe God understands better than we do. They have set up a system that man has developed to try to help you with your distress, to try to help you with your, to be content, to try to make you feel like you don't have a debt. Oh, we're all, the religion does that too sometimes. Well, we're all God's children, kumbaya. And the truth is, you're either lost or you're saved, and it's all whether you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But the devil has set up systems, even in the religious circle, he set up systems to get people that are in distress, in debt, and discontented to calm down and just exist without Jesus Christ. Or you can go talk to somebody about your problems, and maybe you'll feel better for a little while, but $120 an hour, I don't know what it is. Probably a bunch, you know. I'll talk to you for free. It ain't worth anything anyway when I talk to you. But I'll give you the Word of God. That's worth everything. But I'm telling you that you go talk to somebody about your problems, and you can get in a group, and I'm not against these things on their face, but they don't replace salvation and a walk with Jesus Christ. But the devil, the god of this world, has set up all these things, psychology, philosophy, false religion, false science, to get people that are in distress to try to calm down and relax, and people that know they're in debt just to say, no, I'm just as good as anybody else. Comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. People are discontent just to settle down and be content on their way to hell. Now, save people, we need people to talk to, and we need counsel and things like that. I understand that. But the devil set up a system in the world which almost eliminates people's feeling like they need God. Well, if you're anxious, if you have bad stress, and you just take a pill or go through this program, I'm telling you today that if you're in distress, if you're in debt, and you're discontented, the answer is not in a program. The answer is in a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can spend all your money. I heard a story about a lady who spent millions and millions and millions of dollars going. She was a filthy rich lady. She had all this money, and she was spending all this money in 30 years to go into this counselor. Boy, he retired happy, and she retired. She watched him retire, and she was just miserable as she was when she started handing the money out. But you know what she didn't have? She didn't have Jesus Christ. Until you are sure, and I'm not one of those preachers that tell you you can't be sure. You can be sure where you're going when you leave this place according to the Word of God. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God." He wrote you a book so you can know how to get to heaven and you can know you're going for sure. Not because we're good, because He's good. But people out there that are in distress, people out there that are in debt, people out there that are discontented, the answer is finding salvation through Jesus Christ and knowing where your eternity is going to be. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, some Bible verses that tell you how you can know. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now that lasts forever. Amen? "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." He saves you and He seals you. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." He was talking about a spiritual birth. Nicodemus obviously was born the first time. He was there talking to the Lord. And the Lord says, "Well, you must be born again. Because our first birth, we're born in a fallen image of Adam. But when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and put your faith and trust in His death, burial, resurrection, and blood atonement, you get a new birth and you're born into the family of God." So people that are in distress and in debt and discontented were gathering to David. You know what's really interesting about this verse? Let's look at verse 2 again, 1 Samuel 22. "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto David, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men." Now, I believe some folks that were in distress, that were in debt, and were discontented, went to Jesus Christ and got saved. But He never became their captain. Now, I understand He's the captain of our salvation. But you know what the captain does? He stands at the helm at the forefront and He guides. And the people that He became the captain to follow. I believe there are a lot of people out there that are born again, but they don't see Jesus Christ as their captain. And you know, I used to watch football before it got all political and all that garbage years ago, but the quarterback is considered the captain of the team. And he leads the plays. He develops the plays. He leads the plays. I mean, he gets help from the sideline, the coach, and training and all that. But they follow the quarterback's lead. He's their captain. I mean, if they just went out there, kind of like we did after high school, and just everybody done their own thing, I hope he got the ball. But if they just go out there and do their own thing, they're not going to win the game. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about being pleasing to the Lord. He's our captain. I mean, I don't wake up in the morning wondering if I could talk to Dr. Phil. If I could just talk to Dr. Phil, I'd be all right. If I could get, Lord forbid, if I could get some spiritual advice from Oprah, I mean, that'd be the wrong place, but I'd just be all right. Or if I could just get rid of this feeling of sin, guilt, I'd be all right. If I could just learn how to be content with doing my own thing, living my own life, ignoring the Lord, ignoring the Bible. You see, that's the worldly thing. But the truth is, as born-again believers, we can still get into stress and you still need to get right with God occasionally. You still have a debt. Now, I know the debt ultimately is paid, but we can get our sins under the blood of Jesus Christ and be clean. And when I get discontented, I'm not looking for a program. I'm looking for the Lord. I'm looking in the Bible and brothers and sisters in Christ to be an encouragement. Amen? But the devil has masterfully, if you will, almost hate to use that word, but he has set up a system, a worldly system. And a lot of the folks, the younger folks, don't feel like they need God at all. With evolution, science falsely so-called, and there's a pill for everything. I didn't know it until recently, but some pills, you take one pill for everything, I guess. They just prescribe it for everything. But there's a pill for everything. There's a group for everything. There's a, and, you know, we can everybody can be an expert on the internet. Amen? You ever notice everybody's an expert on the internet? Amen? Everybody knows everything. They know more about your life and what you ought to be doing than you should, than you do. Matter of fact, they've raised themselves to God status. They can explain everything you're doing wrong by you posting a picture. Amen? You can be a star. And the truth is, we're without hope and without help without Christ. We didn't just need an eternal Savior, we need a captain. And without a captain, without accepting Jesus Christ as your leader, as your captain, oh, you'd be saved. But you're still going to be in distress, and you're still going to be able to fall into a place where you're content out of God's will, or try to be content out of God's will. But David here in the cave of Adullam, and you know, David's a type of Christ. The Lord's coming back. He's going to sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years. He's going to come back and take that throne. But when David was at that cave, everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves into him. I think a lot of times people don't realize. I'll put it on the preachers. Put it on the churches. That the reason they're in distress is because they're in debt. Amen? I remember we hadn't been married a long time. We had credit. We're going to get a car. Not a new one. We got a car. And I remember making payments on that thing. And I remember he had to pay more insurance on it because he had a loan on it. He had to have a certain amount of insurance and all that stuff. And I remember things going wrong with that car while I'm still making payments. And I was in debt, owed something on that car, and I was a little bit distressed over the fact that I'm paying out, at that time, probably $200 or $300 a month on car payments and insurance, and plus paying the mechanic or paying for parts or what have you. But when I realized long before that I had a debt that was much heavier than car payment, I had a sin debt. I'd sinned against the Lord. And I was distressed. And I was not content until I called on Jesus Christ and asked Him to forgive me and save me. And you know, every single day since I've been saved, He wants to be my captain. But you know, I haven't always listened to the plays. Amen. But those folks, they came to David. They were in their situation. They came to him. They gathered themselves unto him. And he became their captain. He became the captain over them. And he was the best king that Israel ever had. Man speaking, carnally speaking. A type of Christ. A man after God's heart. A type of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our captain. What I'm saying is this, if you're here today and you're in distress, and you're trying to just be content, you know something's not right, you realize you're in debt, you have a sin debt, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's offering you a free gift. He paid your debt on Calvary. He just wants you to accept that payment. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I know y'all are here most weeks, and church members. And I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm asking if you've ever realized you were in debt and asked the Lord to forgive you and save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The world's got all kinds of ideas. The world has all kinds of different avenues you can try to take to try to get rid of the distress and find contentment and maybe get out of debt or feel like you don't have a debt. Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You can be free from your debt. You can be free from the distress. And you can be content knowing, not guessing or wondering or hoping, no maybe so stuff. You can know that you belong to Jesus Christ, you've been born again, and you're headed to heaven one day, according to the Word of God. Not my opinion. But that Bible, again, says, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's all Jesus Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ. Buddha can't do it. The Pope can't do it. The preacher can't do it. Your grandma can't do it. Your husband or your wife can't do it. It's between you and Him. Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe You died for sinners. Forgive me and save me. It's that clear. Religion muddies it up, so they can have power and control over people. I tell people all the time, I'm not inviting you to church, I'm inviting you to Jesus Christ. You can go to church every day of your life and still go to hell. You go to Jesus Christ, you're headed to heaven. Amen, amen, and amen. That's not a Baptist church doctrine, by the way. That's a Bible doctrine. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. If you're here today and you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Lord Himself said, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's Him. He's the way. He's the way out of distress. He's the way out of debt. He's the way to have true contentment. To know that you know that you know in your heart, not just your mind, but in your heart, that you belong to Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll have a few moments of silence. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, again, I'm not asking you if you belong on the church rolls or if you've been baptized. I'm asking you, have you ever asked the Lord to forgive you and save you, trust in Him and Him alone? Few moments of silence. If you've never been saved, don't you call on Him today?